Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatade Shatarne Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Who put this book here? Yeah, if you're going to do a job, don't half do it. Put it in the right place. Open it at the shloka. There we go. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 36, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Shrinvanti Gayanti Gurnantya Bhikshnasaha.
Bhikshnasaha.
Smaranti nandanti tavehi tang janaha. Ta eva pasyantya chirena tavakam. Bhava pravaho paramang padambujam. Shrinvanti gayanti grinantya bhikshnasha.
Shrinvanti gayanti grinantya bhikshnasha.
Smaranti nandanti tavehi tang janaha.
Smaranti nandanti tavehi tang janaha.
Ta eva pasyantya chirena tavakam. Bhava pravaho paramang padambujam.
O Krishna, this is Kunti Devi speaking. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. Purport, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna cannot be seen by our present conditional vision. In order to see him, one has to change his present vision by developing a different condition of life full of spontaneous love of Godhead. When Sri Krishna was personally present on the face of the globe, not everyone could see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Materialists like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Jarasandha, and Shishupal were highly qualified personalities by acquisition of material assets. But they were unable to appreciate the presence of the Lord. Therefore, even though the Lord may be present before our eyes, it is not possible to see him unless we have the necessary vision. This necessary qualification is developed by the process of devotional service only, beginning with hearing about the Lord from the right sources. The Bhagavad Gita is one of the popular literatures which are generally heard, chanted, repeated, etc. by the people in general. But in spite of such hearing, etc., sometimes it is experienced that the performer of such devotional service does not see the Lord eye to eye. The reason is that the first term, Shravana, is very important. If hearing is from the right sources, it acts very quickly. Generally, people hear from unauthorized persons. Such unauthorized persons may be very learned by academic qualifications, but because they do not follow the principles of devotional service, hearing from them becomes a sheer waste of time. Sometimes the texts are interpreted fashionably to suit their own purposes. Therefore, first one should select a competent person and bona fide speaker and then hear from him. When the hearing process is perfect and complete, the other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. There are different transcendental activities of the Lord, and each and every one of them is competent to bestow the desired result, provided the hearing process is perfect. In the Bhagavatam, the activities of the Lord begin from his dealings with the Pandavas. There are many other pastimes of the Lord in connection with his dealings with the Asuras and others. And in the 10th canto, the sublime dealings with his conjugal associates, the gopis, as well as with his married wives at Dwarka, are mentioned. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference in the transcendental nature of each and every dealing of the Lord. But sometimes people in an unauthorized hearing process take more interest in hearing about his dealings with the gopis. Such an inclination indicates the lusty feelings of the hearer. So a bona fide speaker of the dealings of the Lord never indulges in such hearings. One must hear about the Lord from the very beginning, as in the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other scripture, and that will help the hearer attain perfection by progressive development. One should not therefore consider that his dealings with the Pandavas are less important than his dealings with the gopis. We must always remember that the Lord is always transcendental to all mundane attachment. In all the above mentioned dealings of the Lord, he is the hero in all circumstances. And hearing about him or about his devotees or combatants is conducive to spiritual life. It is said that the Vedas and Puranas, etc., are all made to revive our lost relationship with him. Hearing of all these scriptures is essential. This is a very beautiful verse, both in the very sound of it, Shrimvanti Gayanti Varnantya Bhiksha, so the very sound of it is very beautiful. And its purport is also very beautiful and very meaningful. It gives us the opportunity to get out of this world of suffering, but not only that, to enter the transcendental life of pure bliss, at least in the remembrance of Krishna, if not directly involved in his service. So the process is to continuously hear and chant and repeat Krishna's transcendental activities or to take pleasure in others doing so. These farm projects are meant for, well, there are several purposes. The main thing, Srila Prabhupada said, is to save time for Krishna consciousness. Live simply. Produce only what you need. Don't produce more. And keeping our necessities very minimal, just living off of that and saving time for chanting Hare Krishna. Now you may say, well, we seem to be very busy here. So many things to do. That will be there as the project is being set up. But it should come to a point, and fairly soon at that, where there's not so much endeavor to do things, where the infrastructure's in place, maybe even the number of inhabitants of the community is pretty much fixed or stable. Otherwise, what happens is that being raised in the modern age, we're busy. Life is very busy from the beginning of life. Send the children off to what's it called, pre-kindergarten, play school, and then there's kindergarten, and the pressure is there from the beginning of life. My child has to become a success. So study, and then study with great intensity, and then get a job, and then you have to work with great intensity. And life is very active and tense and stressful, and everyone lives like that, and everyone thinks that this is the way life is meant to be lived. They don't know anything else, they can't dream of anything else. Sometimes people may take a break in the country, but after 1 or 2 days, they come, oh, what a relief from all the stress. But after 1 or 2 days, they're itching. It's too boring here, there's nothing to do. I have to get back to the city and do something. What are you doing? What are you sitting here? There's nothing to do. People think there's nothing to... In the city, there are so many things to do. I've recounted this anecdote several times, that quite a few years ago now, maybe 20 years ago or so. I gave the book Vanshidas Babaji to one businessman in Dubai, young man, he's not so young now, I guess he was younger than me, he must have been about 30 years old, but quite a successful international businessman, Sindhi background. His parents are also successful business people, and he's expanded the business. So he looked at the Quran. Well, I have to say, what's he giving me this book for? He said, who is he? I said, he was a great Vaishnav saint. Well, what did he do? If I'd have told him that, well, he, just like Prabhupada, he established so many temples all over the world, and people think, oh yeah, great devotee. But Prabhupada was a great devotee not because he established so many temples all over the world, because he was a great devotee. He took pleasure in continuously hearing and chanting about Krishna. In that Prabhupada Lilamrita, Satsarupa Das Goswami notes that Prabhupada was wandering the streets of New York with no supporters or disciples, on his own, a complete unknown. But he was already successful. His life was perfect in Krishna consciousness. Whether the Krishna consciousness movement had taken off or not, he was a pure devotee of Krishna. It's not that he became a pure devotee by establishing so many temples. That was a symptom of his devotion, and Krishna's reciprocating with that. When Srila Prabhupada was in the process of building the Krishna Balaram temple, someone asked him, why are you building this temple? The six Goswamis, they just sat under a different tree every night. Prabhupada said, yeah, but if I sat under a different tree every night, no one would come to hear me. Unless you're super renounced, unless you make a real super show of renunciation, like the Dera Baba, he was living in Vrindavan, 120 years old or something, and living in I don't even know what to call it, residence. It wasn't even really on. He had some on wooden poles in the Yamuna. He had some room up there. So he was, I think, he was definitely a sadhu, but the main reason he came to prominence was, I think, because he was old, because there are so many sadhus. He was old. He lived to 120, something like that. So this man asked, what did he do? And Prabhupada established so many temples all over the place. Oh yeah, very good sadhu. Yes, he did so much. You have to do something. But actually the only thing we really have to do is to remember Krishna and chant about Krishna and hear about Krishna. And that can be done in big temples, and that will attract many people. That's the idea of big temples. Or it can actually be done more conducively in a very simple setting. So these communities, these farm communities, are actually meant to cultivate not only carrots and rice and dal, but to cultivate Krishna Anushilanam, cultivate Krishna consciousness, the life of bhajan, living in Bengal. Now things are changing, but in the 1980s, living in Bengal, it was among the many Vaishnavas there of various stripes and sampradayas and upper sampradayas, the concept was there of bhajan, that you do bhajan, that you'll find people, they're not super busy, living at home in their village, and in the morning they'll get up and go and collect some flowers here and there, singing bhajans and chanting Hare Krishna as they do, come back and do their puja, they'll sit and chant some rounds, then they'll maybe go to their shop at midday, something like that, sit in the shop for a few hours and come back. And they earn enough in their shop in a few hours. They come back home and they do bhajan and puja. And their life is meant for this. Srinvanti gayanti grinanti bhikshas. But it seems that in the modern age that we're all so wired up on this rajoguna, which is the power behind the modern civilization. Big buildings. After some time, break them down again. That doesn't happen in India, but in the West it's very common. They build a huge building, and then after 20 years, they break it down, and then they build another building. And building and breaking, activity, this whole word, develop the economy, make progress. Well, what for? Why? You can sit on the land and chant Hare, grow some food and live simply and chant Hare Krishna. But we're so accustomed to this very active way of life that even if we go to the land, we can't relax. Of course, it's a preaching movement, and establishing these projects means there's so many things to do. But there should come a point where the community is more or less settled, and you don't have to always think about, we have to build something new. That's been one major reasons why our farm projects couldn't work in the West, because devotees, they think, we've got this land, let's get a tractor, and then we can produce more food, then we can make more money, and then we can, and then, and it goes on and on and on. And you're just completely caught in thinking, instead of looking at the land and thinking, all right, let's grow something and offer it to Krishna, think, making some calculation. Well, if we plant this and this, and then we can make so much profit, and then we can do something else, and just all the time calculating into seeing everything in terms of what can we do. How can we squeeze out the most out of the facility and really show that we're doing something and develop? Not necessary. What is not necessary is anartha, not needed. Becomes an obstacle in our spiritual life. So there should be a class of people, of course, even in the firm community, there'll be different classes of people. But there should be a class of people, brahmanas, in the mode of goodness, who are quite satisfied, yadricha labha santushtaha, quite satisfied with whatever comes. And they're not interested in material development. And they can engage themselves all the time. It doesn't need that someone has to come and, hey, get up in the morning and whip them and get out, go work in the field. Then you become like the bulls. You have to go, hey, get them up and hitch them up and take them out. But a Brahmin should be self-motivated, and he's quite happy to sit. He can sit and chant. And of course, he's not completely self, not only for himself. He'll teach, but he's also, it is not that, well, I have to teach, I have to have a big university with 500 students. He may have a few people around, a few boys around him, and he'll teach them. And it's the same thing he's been teaching for 50 years. There's another batch, and he'll start teaching them. So he's quite satisfied to do that. Of course, the way the world is, we need to make big projects for education and everything, but it should come to the point where everything is localized, very simple, and ourselves, we should be content to hear and chant about Krishna, just like is described again in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. In 1966, I think it was, Srila Prabhupada was there when there was a power cut in New York. They think, well, power cut, so what? I mean, in India, it used to be in most places there was no power. And if there was a power cut, you used to see in the villages in Bangladesh, sometimes you see an electric line, not very often. But that was all. There was electric line, but there was no electricity. And occasionally, some power would come. But it was so erratic that it was of no actual use. And occasionally you'd see some light bulb which would light up at about 20. It was, you'd have a 40 watt bulb, but it would only be shining about 10. You know, voltage would be very low. It was useless. But in New York, power cut. It was major news all over America the next day. Power cut in New York. The power went off for an hour or two. And someone came to see Swamiji, is he all right? And Prabhupada was sitting in his room chanting Hare Krishna with his beads. Completely content, and they were surprised. Everyone was, oh, power cut, what are we going to do? Oh. Prabhupada was sitting chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Completely undisturbed. So, even farm community, developing that culture, which is still there, of individually satisfied to hear and chant about Krishna, or in small groups, we don't see that so much nowadays, because our movements are preaching movements, are always trying to expand. But again, my memory is going around, especially one town, Shillet in Bangladesh. I used to come at night back from different programs. I was staying there for some time. And you come, especially during this month, Kartik month, you'd hear just in people's homes, the family is sitting together doing kirtan, or you go in someone's home in the day and they're observing Chaturmas. They'd be an older man because he's a retired man. He'd just take the vow to sit in the house for 4 months and do hearing and chanting about Krishna. Or in Vrindavan, in the town of Vrindavan, you go in the back lanes and you'll see in some house or some small ashram, there are three or four people sitting together, chanting. So this atmosphere we want to create, doing Paj. It used to be, also, Prabhupada recommended that, but on festival days, we didn't always have a big public festival. Here in India, when we have festivals, because so many people are, by their background, inclined to Krishna consciousness. So we invite many people. But often in the West, some festival like Advaita Acharya appearance, midweek, and not many people are going to come. So there'd be some extra discussion of his pastimes, and there'd be some cooking of a feast. And the devotees would, to celebrate it, they'd chant extra rounds. Okay, Advaita Acharya, what are you going to do? Okay. I'll chant 64. All right, very good. It was allowed. It wasn't that, oh, get out on the street and distribute books. It was allowed, time to time, to develop that. To develop that taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Actually, this Kartik month is especially meant for that. And as Srila Prabhupada noted in the Nectar of Devotion, that in Kartik months, many people go to Vrindavan just to hear and chant about Krishna without doing anything else for the whole month. Of course, they'll sleep, they'll eat, but they'll minimize that also and just concentrate on hearing and chanting about Krishna. So we have to remember, in the midst of all these activities, farming and legal matters and money matters and personnel matters. Bhajare bhajare amar man ati manda. Bhaja braja bane radha krishna charanarvinda. Bhajan bina gati naire. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. He's instructing his mind. My mind is very... You mind, my mind, is it you or is it me? You know, that's not me. I don't think about all nonsense. It's my mind. My mind is very bad. Mind, worship Radha and Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. Bhajan bina gati naire. Without bhajan, there's no hope. We're not going anywhere. So we should have this, that we're able to sit down and chant and read. It may not be there for everyone, that it may take time to develop that. I remember one of my godbrothers, he was very, very busy all day. He had given so many services. And at one point, he said to the Empress, "You've got to give me a break. I need to do some extra hearing and chanting." So he was relieved of all his duties. Okay, take 2 weeks and just, you can just read and chant all the time. Nothing to do. So saw him the first day, he was chanting and reading. Then after 1 or 2 days, he was just sleeping all day. Because he hadn't developed the taste. For 1 or 2 days, he was absorbed and then he was off sleeping all day. Actually, when I first joined the movement, there was some propaganda going around, reading is Maya. That's what I was told. I didn't believe it, fortunately. From the very beginning, I guess you could say I was a bit of a rebel. Not very much, only on that issue. So you see, reading is just an excuse for sleeping. Because everyone, when they read, because mostly they didn't sleep very much, and they just fall asleep. They wanted to read, but Krishna is the supreme person. And they were off. So it's Maya, you just go to sleep. So better be active, do something. Get out and give books to others so they can read them. But what about you reading them? No, it's Maya. But why are you distributing books if it's Maya to read them? It's a very funny idea. So I used to hide away, oh God, on book distribution and sit in the park and do some reading. I had to read. I had to do that. Anyway, hearing and chanting about Krishna actually developing a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. In this regard, I'll just finish this little talk with by reading Sri Radha Krishna Smarana Mangala Stotram by Srila Rupa Goswami, which gives an overview of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna throughout the 24 hours. And it's very conducive, living in this kind of community, to remember the pastimes of Krishna. Because in the city, there's only day and night. And even there's not much difference because the night is also lit up. You don't really see the day. Sunrise, even if people are up, you don't see the sun because it's behind all the buildings, and it may be completely smogged out. Or people live in air conditioned, so you don't feel that the day gradually gets warmer and then gradually gets cooler. It doesn't make any difference to them whether it's Amavasya or Purnima because they can't see any, everything's all lit up and it's just completely stereotyped. And hearing about Krishna's pastimes in the forest is just some imagination to them because they don't know what a forest is. Maybe they saw on TV some forest. That's all. But Krishna's pastimes, they follow a regular schedule. And actually, it's all based around the cows. The cows, they also like to have a regular schedule. Same time every day, they'll be got up and milked and taken out. Then they'll be brought back at the same time by the same person or persons. They like, they're very, in that way, they're very sattvic. They like to be very regulated like this. So Krishna's pastimes, they revolve around the cows and the cow herders, both male and female. So they're in eight, as the day, or the cycle of what we would call 24 hours, is divided into eight ashtaprahar, eight divisions, and Krishna does different things at the different times. So the day, Krishna's day in terms of his activity, getting up from bed, begins at Nishanta, the end of the night. Then there's Prata. Of course, in English there's the word morning, which just means generally all the time between before 12, by the, according to the clock. But it's not a... There is measurement of time, but it's what we would call early morning, prata kala. Then what we would call the late morning, purvahna, midday, madhyana. Then after that comes aparana. Then early evening, sayam, late evening, or early night, pradosha, and deep night is ratri. So his pastimes are described. And in this kind of setting, we can say, oh, now is the time. Krishna's taking out the cows. Oh, now is the time that Krishna's coming back with the cows. And we, through the day, we can remember. That's one kind of, this is a Sri Sri Radha Krishna Smarana Mangala Stotram. So there's this as central to the bhajan of devotees who are completely dedicated to bhajan. That's all they do, bhajan anandi, is to remember the pastimes of Krishna throughout the day and night. So I'll just read this and let's see if I can get the... I've been trying to work out the meter here. Ratrante trasta vrinderita bahu viravair bodhito kira shari padyair hridyair api sukha shayanad uttitau tau sakhibhihi drishtau hrishtau tadat vodita rati lalitau kakkati ghi shashankau radha krishnau satrishnavapi nija nija dhamnyapta talpo smarami. At the end of the night, Vrinda, the personality who is organizing, she's one of the big organizers of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the temple president, if you like, something like that. At the end of night, Vrinda, fearful of the approach of daybreak, prompted the parrot. It says here the parrot and the minor to awaken Radha and Krishna, but actually I think it's the male and female parrot. Kira. Kira means parrot also, and Shari means the female. Sometimes it's Shuk. So it's the parrots to awaken Radha and Krishna. Because Radha and Krishna are lying together, the end of the night is coming. Wake up, you've got to go home and pretend you've been sleeping all night in your homes. Although the birds sang sweetly, their songs were not at all pleasing, for they awakened Radha and Krishna from their sleep. So there's an example of doing something that's not pleasing to Krishna, which is pure devotional service. How about that? Yeah, Yashoda tying up Krishna. So, Yeah, but they're a bit different, aren't they? You know, Chanara, Mushtika, and so many others. So the parrot and his female consort, They awoke Radha and Krishna. But Radha and Krishna, they're like, oh, now I have to wake up. Not that they're not against being awake, but the point is that when they wake up, they have to be separated from each other. They have to go separately. So the Sakis watched from a distance as the divine couple stirred, because you have to leave them alone. But the very young gopis, the Manjaris, will be there immediately waiting to serve Radha and Krishna. Divine couple stirred, looking very charming because of their deep love and affection that they shared at that moment. Then they heard the voice of the she monkey, Kakati, which means, oh, 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 oh. They became thinking, oh, now, no, that's her. That means it's time for us to go. She gives the sign. So they looked at each other. They looked at in each other's eyes. Or they do, not that they look in each other's eyes very feelingly, but then they have to, with great reluctance, go their respective ways, where they lie down on their beds. And then Yashoda comes and says, ah, Kana, you haven't had a nice long sleep. He's just laid down. So that's the next thing is, Radhang snada vibhushitam rajapaya hutam sakhibi prage tadgehe vihitana paka rachanam krishna vasheshanam krishnam buddham abhapta dhenu sadanam vir yudha go dohanam susnatam krita bhojanam sahacharais tang chata tam achashaya. The Sanskrit here isn't properly diacriticized. I think it should be Prage, that should be Sahacharaish. There's some mistakes there. Anyway, so if I pronounce it wrongly, it may be because the person who transposed it did so wrongly. Anyway, Rupa Goswami says, I take shelter of Srimati Radharani. After finishing her ablutions, that means she takes bath, and everything else that goes with taking bath, that means there'll be what we call brushing of teeth, but it's not really brushing because they don't use a brush. And all these various matters, combing the hair, brushing the hair for her, and ornamenting her body, not that she does it herself, she has her servants ornament her. Radharani responds to the early morning call of Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda comes and calls out to come, because Radharani got a benediction from Durvasa Muni that whatever she cooked would be most delicious, and whoever would eat that would become very healthy and nourished. So Yashoda found this out, so she called Radharani every day to cook for Krishna. So Radha, along with her girlfriends, then goes to the house of Mother Yashoda and prepares varieties of delicious foods that are offered to Krishna. How is it offered to Krishna? They sit down with a bell, ding, 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 ding. No, they just give it to him, just like that. So when you're offering with a bell, ding, 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 you have to get ready to offer directly to Krishna. Radharani then eats Krishna's remnants. What is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says? Sri Krishna Prasad Radha Bunjai Hoye Prito Lalitadi Shoki Gan Obashesh Apai Mane Mane Radha Krishna Mane Mane Radha Krishna Gunagaya. Mane Mane Radha Krishna. I can't remember exactly. Anyway, after Radharani eats the remnants, and then the Sakis, Lalitadi Shaki Gan Abhashesh Pai, Mane Mane Sukhe Radha Krishna Gunagaya. And in their minds, while they're taking the remnant, they take the remnants, Radha's remnants, after she's taken Krishna's remnants, and then the Sakis take, and in their mind, they happily sing the pastimes and the qualities of Radha and Krishna. So during this time, when Radharani comes to cook for Krishna, she's a chaste wife, so she doesn't see Krishna, but sometimes she does. She sometimes gets the chance to do so. I also take shelter of Krishna. After rising from his bed early in the morning, what's the first thing Krishna does? Takes baths? No, he goes to the cow shed to milk the cows. Then he returns home, and then he takes bath, and then he eats. Doesn't chant any japa. He's not very good at the morning program. But his morning program is looking after the cows and then accepting the offerings of his devotees in the form of his meal. And what's his meal? What does Krishna take for breakfast? What do you usually have for breakfast here? Yesterday at the program there was khichdi and... what was it? Khichdi and some of those little... what's that called? Papa or then something like that. Papa and pickle like that. Well, Krishna for breakfast, he takes shukta shakadi bhaji nalita kushmanda dali dalna dugda tambi dadi mochakanda. Then what's next? I can't remember. Dadi mochakanda. There's so many items. Anna. Rotika gritanna. Luchi chini sharpuri, ladu rasha bali. So many things. That's Krishna's breakfast. And by midday, he's hungry again. Don't imitate. You have to become qualified. If you like eating lots of nice prasadam, you have to go back to Godhead. Then you'll get the best food, Krishna's remnants directly. And you'll be working hard, taking out the cows, you'll get good appetite to digest it all also. So, that's just as Krishna gets up in the morning, milks the cows, gets a little glimpse of Radha, and eats what would knock us all out for days on end. But Krishna doesn't get knocked out, he goes out in the fields, and he's playing and dancing, killing a few demons here and there. Puravarne dhenu mitrayar. Puravarne dhenu mitrayar. Vipinam anusritam gosha lokanu yatam. Krishnam rad hapti lolang tab apisriti krite prapta tat kunda tiram. Radhang cha lokya krishnam krita griha gamanam. Arya yar kar chanayai. Dishtam Krishna Pravrityai Prahita Nijasaki Vartma Netram Smarami. I remember Sri Krishna, who in the forenoon goes to the forest, followed by the cowherd boys and the cows. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, and other Vrajavasis also follow along. So Krishna goes out to the forest, and everyone wants to go with him. Not just the cowherd boys. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, everyone go, and Krishna says, no, you stay there. I'll take the cows out with the cowherd boys. Because they don't want to be separated from Krishna. They want to follow him everywhere. But Krishna has some, he has to send them back. Being anxious to meet Radharani, Krishna leaves the cowherd boys and cows behind and comes to the banks of Radha Kund. I also remember Srimati Radharani, who returns to her home from Nandagram after she has caught a glimpse of Krishna's signal indicating their future meeting. Her mother-in-law, Jatila, orders her to worship the sun god. Radharani casts her eyes down the pathway by which her Sakis will return with the news about Krishna's location, for which she eagerly awaits. Madhyane nyonya sangodita vividha vikaradi bhusha pramugdhau vam yod kantati lo lo smaramaka lalita dyalinarmapta shato dolaranyambu vangshi hriti rati madhu panarka pujadi lilao radha krishna satrishna parijana ghataya sevyamanao smarami. I remember Radha and Krishna who enjoy each other's company at midday. They are both decorated with different kinds of ecstatic symptoms, such as Ashta Sattvic and Vyabhichari. Their eyes show symptoms of opposition, then eagerness, as they become unsteady in their loving affairs. They are pleased by the jokes of Lalita and the other Sakis, and surrounded by these friends, they become eager to engage in sports such as swinging, roaming in the forest, playing in the water, hiding Krishna's flute, lovemaking, drinking honey, and worshipping the sun god. Hiding Krishna's flute. What's the worst thing you can do to Krishna is to steal his flute. The gopis do that. It's really very distressing to him. And it's very humiliating also. He comes back to the cowboys, "Where's your flute?" "Oh, the gopis stole it." "Ah! The girl stole his flute." He's supposed to be a big tough boy. And the girl stole his flute. So he's very anxious to get it back. And how can he call the cows without his flute? And what's he going to say to Mother Yashoda? "Oh, I lost my flute." So they engage in sports such as, and he's swinging, roaming, and last is worshipping the sun god, because that's the excuse. Radharani goes out, and oh, by the way, we're supposed to worship the sun god. Sri Radham praptage hang nijaramana krite klipta nano paharang su snatam ramyave sham priyamukha kamala lokapurna pramodam Shri Krishnam Chaiva Paharane Vrajam Manu Chalitam Dhenu Vrindayar Vayasyai Shri Radha Loka Triptang Pitri Mukha Militang Matri Mrishtam Smarami. I remember Srimati Radharani, who in the afternoon returns to her home and prepares many sweets such as Amrita Keli and Karpura Keli for her beloved Shri Krishna. After bathing and dressing in beautiful clothes and ornaments, she is filled with ecstasy seeing the lotus face of her beloved Sri Krishna as he returns from the forest to the cow pen. I also remember Sri Krishna, who returns home in the afternoon to Nandagram along with his cows and cowherd boyfriends. As they arrive on the path, he feels satisfied glancing at Srimati Radharani. After meeting with Nanda and other elders, he is then bathed and dressed by Mother Yashoda. Sayang radhang svasakya nijaramana krite preshitane kabhojang sakyanite shashashana mudita hridam tang cha tang cha vrajendram susnatang ramyavesang grihamanu janani lalitang prapta goshtham Nirvidyud hos rali dohang svagriham anupuna buktavantang smarami. It's Krishna eating again. Remember, he only had a huge feast in the morning, and then midday had a picnic, which was like another huge feast. And in the meantime, fruits on the way. So in the evening, he's hungry again. In the evening, and in the middle of the night when he's supposed to be sleeping, they also have forest feast. So when we say Krishna's the supreme enjoyer, bhokta, it means also the supreme eater. So very expert in eating, but he doesn't get fat. Well, sometimes. In the evening, Sri Radha sends her girlfriends with many exquisite sweet preparations for her beloved Krishna. When her friends return with Krishna's remnants, Radha becomes very happy by tasting those remnants. Vrajendra Krishna bathes at home and is then very nicely dressed as Mother Yashoda lovingly attends him. Krishna then goes to the cow pens and after milking the cows again returns home to take his meals in great happiness. I remember those pastimes with affection. Yeah, Krishna's very happy. Everything he does, he's very happy. He takes his meal, it's not like, you know, sit down, some kind of routine. But every meal, Krishna's in complete ecstasy at every meal. Sometimes there's some feast and we're all in a happy mood. Every time Krishna eats, and he eats a lot. Oh, this is so, like Jayananda Prabhu used to say, every time he took prasad, this prasad is the best I've ever had in my life. And he meant it. Radhang sali garnam tam asita sita nisha yogya vesham pradoshe dutya vrindo padeshada abhisrita yamuna tira kalpaga kunjam krishnam gopai sabhayang vihita guni kala lokanang snigda matra yatnadaniya sangshayitam atanibrit Tang prapta kunjam smarami. I remember Sri Radha in the late evening, she dresses herself in clothes suitable for the dark and light fortnight for the pleasure of Krishna. In other words, during the days just before and after Amavasya, and on Amavasya day, she'll go in dark clothing so she can't be seen as she sneaks out. And in the light phase of the moon or just before and after and on the day of Purnima, she'll dress in light clothes. So again, she won't be seen very well as she sneaks out. In accordance with Vrinda's advice, she takes shelter in a secluded bower on the banks of the Yamuna in the company of her Sakhi messenger. I also remember Krishna sitting in an assembly of cowherd boys and watching their various feats. So the cowherd boys, they did wrestling and whirling the sticks and somersaults and all things like that. You can see sometimes, if you go to Puri at Rath Yatra time, you'll see people come and they'll do somersaults and all kinds of tricks and things like that, just for the pleasure. They come in front of Jagannath to show him all these things. There's one village I went to a couple of times in North Tamil Nadu also. We had Harinam Sankirtan and there was someone came. These people in Puri, they'd be from the Akra or the local gymnasium and they practice throughout the year all these things. And then on festivals they come and perform in front of Jagannath. So we, in this village in North Tamil Nadu, there was something like that. One man, he was the guru for some local boys and would train them in all these physical activities and they'd have things like someone some rope would go to whip them and they'd have to jump very high to go above it and all kinds of things. And then immediately someone would come from the other side with another whip and he'd have to jump above that. And so many things. All for the pleasure of Krishna. They do that. So Krishna sees his cowherd boys with their various antics. In the evening, they'll all come and sit in Nanda Maharaj's house, and there are different kinds of entertainment in the evening. Some acrobatics, or some there'd be traveling people some would be acrobats, some would tell stories. There'd be musicians and jokers. There'd be entertainment in the evening. As that comes to an end, Yashoda brings him home. Oh, this is going on in the banks of the Yamuna. And sometimes in Nanda Maharaj's house, this goes on. So Yashoda brings him home and puts him to sleep. So Krishna goes to sleep. Long day. Oh, he's very tired. But then he wakes up and thinks, Radha! And jumps out of the window, and goes off to the forest. secretly. Tav utkao labda sango bahu paricharanair vrindayaradhyamanao prashtalibhir lasanto vipina viharanair gana rasadi lasyaihi nana lila nitanto pranayi sahachari vrinda samsevyamanao radha krishnao nishayam su kusama shayane prapta nidrao smarami. I remember Radha and Krishna, who at night are anxious for each other's company. After they meet, Vrinda Devi serves them in various ways as they roam throughout the forest. Radha and Krishna appear very charming with their sakis as they sing and dance in their rasa pastimes. Becoming fatigued from their sportive activities, they are served by their many loving friends, manjaris. As the night ends, they lie on a bed of flowers where they sleep. The sakis drown in an ocean of ecstasy as they observe these pastimes. So that's the general template for Krishna's pastimes. He's not fixed. On some days they'll have a swinging leela. On some days they'll have rasa leela in the daytime also. Some days they'll... Krishna and his friends will block Radha and her friends as they carry milk products and demand taxes. Some days there are demons who carry so many things. This is a general template, and we can remember it throughout the day and cultivate taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Shrinvanti gayanti grananti bhikshna sasmaranti nandanti tave hitanjanaha ta eva paishantya chirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam paramam bhujam. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant and repeat your transcendental activities, such as those Rupa Goswami has summarized in his Sri Radha Krishna Smarana Mangala Stotram, or take pleasures in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Talking about chatting extra rounds, I think we're all behind on our rounds. So, go take breakfast and do whatever else you have to do, including chanting your rounds. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.